Building One Home, September 5, 2012. A needle is not a needle, a tool is not a tool, and a simple task is not a simple task. The last few days have ranged from frustration to worry about money to downright distress. Since the fire that consumed our lives, we have learned that simple things are not simple. You set out to do a task, reach for your tools, and then discover you no longer have what you need to accomplish even the smallest task. Frustration is first. Money is next. What you took for granted, having a tool in a cabinet, when you have no cabinet, becomes complex. When the underlying reason for the complexity shows itself, it can make you sad enough to cry. We like blue. The whole master bedroom and bath in our rental house is orange and gold. Neither of those are fantastic colors to us. Being resilient people, we took that in stride and decided we could do something about it without altering the rental house itself. Orange and blue are complementary colors. Complementary colors are those that are directly across from each other on the color wheel. We set out to introduce some blue in a complementary way. I put a blue throw on an orange chair. We got a blue bedspread. I found a throw pillow that matches perfectly to span all the blues and the oranges. We found on sale a complementary color shower curtain to put over the existing liner. The shower rod is low, so I needed to shorten the shower curtain. Simple. Except that I had no sewing machine, no sewing shears, no ivory-colored thread, no thimble, no hem marker, and no pins to hold the hem in place while I sewed it. Not to be deterred, I found a mending kit from a hotel that was stuck in my luggage. I used kitchen shears to trim the hem. I do have an iron, so I was able to turn the hem. Using the pre-threaded needles from the hotel mending kit, I made it halfway with white thread and halfway with gray. We have other things to mend or fix, and sadly, my hotel sewing kit is not going to do it. So bring out the money, bring out the time, and bring out the tears. The worst thing was no sewing box. Soon after we were married, I purchased a plastic sewing box. It was of a good size. In the bottom were interfacing, tracing paper, patterns, and other miscellaneous things. It had a middle tray that held tracing wheels, rotary cutters, elastic, drawstring pullers, buttons, and such. The top tray held spools of thread, bobbins, scissors, needles, pens, marking pencils, fabric erasers, measuring tapes, pressure feet, and those little rulers with the slidey thing I can never remember the name of, but assures that you have an even hem. It was a great box. You could just pull it out for mending or unpack it for sewing. Soon after I got it, my mom, who had sewing rooms, looked at it and proclaimed that it was too small and would break soon. Well, I had it since 1977 and it was going strong. I miss it. I thought it would be easy to find a sewing box. I hunted and hunted but could find nothing. Finally, I found some like my old one in the vintage section on eBay. Even with the damaged or missing tray, they sold for as much as $50. Frustration, worry about money, and downright distress. I've always associated sewing tools and building tools, and vice versa. Both are for making things. One of my tasks this summer was to put a furniture-quality finish on some unfinished bookcases that we'd had for years. I had everything ready. The tools I needed were in my toolbox. I simply needed to go grab the right box. I had found and purchased the three-phase hand-rub finishing system that was used for antique furniture restoration that my mom had taught me to use 50 years ago. I had 120, 220, 320, and 600 grit sandpaper. I had 120 to sand the wood smooth before I put on the coats of finish. I had 220 to sand between the first, second, and third coats of the finish. 320 to sand between the last two top coats, and 600 to knock down the shine a bit and give the furniture the look of a well-aged piece. The lovingly, painstakingly applied, hand-rubbed finish would match our antiques. Of course, the tools did not survive the fire. The bookcases did not survive the fire. The antiques did not survive the fire. You reordered some of the bookcases, not having money to replace them all. I reordered the finishes. I procured the sandpaper, 120, 220, 320, and 500, since I couldn't find any 600. I had no rags for the painstakingly applied, hand-rubbed finish, so I purchased cotton painting cloths and a few foam pads. I got back to our temporary house and realized that my good fabric drop cloths had burned. I had to go back to the store and replace them. They were $30 each. More frustration, more worry about money, and more distress. We decided I needed to replace my tools. I went to Lowe's and came face to face with the vast array of tools. When I saw them, I just started crying right there in the tool aisle. I loved my tools. I had dozens of toolboxes with different kinds of tools in each. I even built them a cabinet. I had accumulated them over years, so I had no idea that starting from scratch would cost so much money. I had no cabinet, I had no tools, and I had no courage to buy them because they were so expensive. Again, frustration, worry about money, and distress. Thankfully, there were no people in the tool aisle to see me crying in Lowe's. Every task that was simple before is complicated now. Each task represents some part of our life that has been affected by the fire. Each item was a friend, sometimes an old friend who had served us well. How do you replace friends?